Is overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us right now Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution, and we're going to be talking about the Bill of Rights. Now, we spent a lot of time talking about the problems. We spent a lot of time talking about what's happening here in America, what's happening in Iraq, about the dark spiritual forces that are intent upon destroying America. But after you have all this bad information, what do you do with it? Well, you have to know where to start. And we have a 10-point program we put together many years ago. How do you approach what's going on? Well, first of all, you really need to have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, because if you get into this battle and you try to address these spiritual forces that are manipulating everything behind the scenes on your own, if you try to use your willpower and your ability and your intelligence, why, you're going to be destroyed. The only way that we will be effective at all in what we do is reliance upon our Lord. So, number one, you need a personal relationship with the Lord. But number two, you need to understand the foundations of our freedom. You need to understand why America is different than other nations. What is the foundations of our country built upon? Is it the landmass that we have, the Purple Mountains majesty and the fields of waving grain, or is it the basic documents that are made America different than any other nation? The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And this is why I'm really so pleased to work with the Institute of the Constitution, because that is their goal, is to get you to understand our founding documents, the Christian heritage of America. Didn't mean you had to be a Christian to live here, but of course this country was based, and our morality was based upon, Christian or Judeo-Christian morality, and the protections for our freedom really came from our Bill of Rights, which put limitations on what the government could do to us. And with that as a background, let's go to Pastor David Whitney of the Institute on the Constitution. David?
Dr. Stan, it's great to be on your show again. I always appreciate the time with you and with your audience, because I know your audience understands these issues, like the theological background for our founding fathers choosing the form of government we have was an understanding that all men are sinners, all men are fallen, and even the redeemed, even those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, are not yet perfect. And therefore, we can never trust any man with total unchecked power. And just as you said, that's the reason the Bill of Rights was put into place, was to check the power of the federal government. And sadly, because most Americans do not understand the Bill of Rights as it was written and intended by our founding fathers, and they've been successively lied to and propagandized that the Bill of Rights says something other than they actually say, they have not held our federal government in check. And it's actually the duty of citizens, as our form of government is structured, the duty of citizens to check the power of our federal government. In a sense, we fulfill our God-given duty as citizens when we understand the founding documents and we fulfill our role of checking the government's power.
And that's, of course, what the Bill of Rights was put in for. The men who drew up our Constitution and the people who were in America at that time did not trust government. They did not believe that government could make a better life. They believed that free men would make a better life and better society. And so they wanted to eternally restrict the power of the federal government. Well, unfortunately, they never teach this in school anymore. They teach us government can solve our problems. Ladies and gentlemen, government is our problem, and there's no problem facing us today that a new series of federal laws won't make worse. We'll be right back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. And this afternoon, we're going to be talking about the Bill of Rights. And if those of you who haven't heard our other programs, they are available from Radio Liberty as we go through the Declaration of Independence and the various parts of the Constitution and the First Amendment. Today, we're going to start on the Second Amendment to the Constitution. Why was the Second Amendment put into the Constitution? It was to protect the other nine bills of rights. It was to protect and ensure that the Constitution would be enforced properly because it was the vehicle by which the people would defend themselves against a tyrannical government. The men who founded America weren't interested, in hunting rights. They weren't interested, in people having guns for trophy collection. They wanted guns to protect themselves against the excesses of government. And, of course, the one thing that the tyrants fear is an armed populace. That's why they keep using all these phony arguments. Oh, we've got to disarm the people, because that's how we're going to stop gun violence. Well, look in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. If it isn't the murder capital of the world, it's second or third along that line. If when you disarm the populace, you increase crime. Well, anyway, David, why don't you pick up the story of the Bill of Rights? I wish this were taught in our schools today, but the people who had established a tyranny have been working very hard to make sure that people did not understand either the Bill of Rights or the arguments that our founding fathers utilized to establish them.
That's right, and as you're talking about the Second Amendment, just to take us back one step, the First Amendment is first in place because it's first and important. Religious freedom is primary. If you do not have religious freedom, no other freedoms matter. And second in importance, if you were to order these, they are ordered in importance in terms of how our founders put the Bill of Rights together. The second is the right to keep and bear arms, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. They understood that when government becomes tyrannical, it will reach a point where the only defense we have against a tyrannical government is to take up arms. They experienced this, actually, in the lead-up and the ramp-up to the War for Independence, because one example would be what took place in Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, the king ordered his generals to go and confiscate all the arms, all the ammunition, all the gunpowder in the town of Williamsburg, and they confiscated it and they put it on a ship out in the harbor. And Patrick Henry and several other patriots gathered groups from surrounding towns and villages and far-flung distance to come as an army, because the people of Williamsburg now were disarmed. They came as an army to demand that the king's representatives return the guns, return the ammunition.
Hold that thought right there, David. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest is David Whitney, Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution, and he was just telling us about what happened at Williamsburg leading up to the Revolutionary War. Why don't you briefly tell that story again, David?
Well, the people of Williamsburg experienced the tyranny of King George III when his generals were ordered to confiscate the arms, confiscate the ammunition, and confiscate the gunpowder of the people of Williamsburg. And if you visit Williamsburg, you go to the armory there, and you'll hear the reenactors tell the exact story of what took place. And because they confiscated it, they put it on board a ship. Patrick Henry and another of other patriots gathered an army from surrounding towns and far-flung regions of Virginia to descend upon Williamsburg, the capital of Virginia at the time, and demand, at gunpoint, demand that the king's troops return the guns, return the gunpowder, return the bullets, and they did. And you see, they understood very clearly in the War for Independence, the first thing the King of England intended to do to prevent them from throwing off his tyrannical regime was to take their guns from them. And so they put the Second Amendment right there at the second, because they knew the people must have a defense against tyrannical government. Now, this amendment is widely misinterpreted today because the gun control people do not want people to have arms themselves, and so they have tried to convince America of what is called the collectivist interpretation of the Second Amendment. The collectivist interpretation basically would say that the Second Amendment only protects the right of the people collectively to bear and keep arms. That is, the state, by having a National Guard or a police force, the state has only the right to bear arms. The individual citizen has no right to have arms. Well, that view can be debunked very easily, because All your listeners have to do, Dr. Stan, is to take that interpretation and say, well, if that's a valid interpretation for the Second Amendment, let's walk backwards just to the First Amendment. Does that same interpretation, a collectivist view, apply to the First Amendment, which would mean that the people individually do not have religious freedom, only the government has religious freedom, or the people individually do not have freedom of speech, only the government together collectively has freedom of speech, or freedom of the press, that no individual could print a newspaper on their own or print a book on their own. Only the government has the right to print newspapers and to print books. Well, you know, we saw a perfect example of that in any dictatorial country like the USSR. You have Pravda, their newspaper of the government, and everybody knew in that nation that it was full of lies and propaganda. You couldn't trust a thing that it said. It is not the government that is given the right to keep and bear arms, just as it's not the government that is given the right to print newspapers or print books. It's the individual view that is the proper, and you read our Founding Fathers, and we'll give you a couple quotes here from our Founding Fathers that show that that is what they intended with the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment protects the individual's right to keep and bear arms. Now, the mention of the militia in the Second Amendment is only the reason why the individuals have that right. We need to understand that the militia, as defined in that day, Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, the first American dictionary, defined the militia of a country as the able-bodied men organized into companies, regiments, brigades, with officers of all grades, and required by law to attend military exercises on certain days only, but at other times left to pursue their usual occupations. Now, this had a long history in English experience, all the way back to the reign of Alfred the Great at 871 A.D., because at that point in time, English law required that all able-bodied men purchase a weapon and be available for military duty. That is the militia. And the idea that our Founding Fathers had, that every able-bodied man should have a weapon, should know how to use his weapon, because when a threat approaches us, we need to be able to defend ourselves.
And of course, you know, the thing is, we're told about this terrible threat of terrorism. Well, you would think if there is really a terrible threat of terrorism, you'd want every law-abiding citizen armed to protect himself and to protect his community. And yet, of course, the gun grabbers, they don't believe there's a threat of terrorism. They know the truth of what this is really all about. They know that the threat of terrorism is being used to take away our freedom, and in the process, of course, they continue trying to disarm the public. And thank goodness we have a few people in Congress who still believe in the Second Amendment and have been willing to take a stand against this. But in state after state, they're doing this in the state governments, and every time there is an atrocity like at Columbine, where you know, a couple of kids killed a lot of other children, instead of saying, you know, if we'd had the teacher's arm, they never could have gotten away with this. If there'd been weapons in the school, why, we could have saved the lives of those children. They twist everything around. Oh, it was the guns. It was the, I mean, after all, if those young people didn't have guns, why, of course, this never would have happened. The problem is, you know, that the criminals and the criminal mind will always get guns. That's what's happened in Australia when they disarmed the people and the incidence of gun violence went up. That's what's happened in England. That's what's happened in Canada. And in each of those countries, the gun violence has gone up. How can that be when you've outlawed guns? Why? Because when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns.
And it's interesting, there was a community in Washington State, there's a number of years back, that was very anti-gun, and so they agreed together as a community all to put stickers on the windows of their homes that said, "This is a gun-free community." You know what happened? They had an enormous number of break-ins to their homes. The criminals had a heyday. And very quickly, the people of that community realized that was stupid.
I remember it's right.
To tell people, you don't have any gun in your house, you're not going to protect and defend yourself.
I remember there was a wonderful cartoon, and it showed this fellow, and he's answering the telephone. It's obviously that doing a poll, and, you know, how many people live in your home, and, you know, do you have a car, and do you have a refrigerator, and, of course, do you have a gun? And after he answers and says he doesn't have a gun, there's just a click at the other end of the line. And the sudden realization that he's told a criminal that he has no weapons. And, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand that the criminals have a admitted that they don't like to actually, rob homes if they think somebody inside has a gun. They're frightened to death. And they'll go into a community where there are no guns, whereas they're not, they're going to move out of the communities where the people are armed. That is the fact of this world. How could you ever convince the people that the Second Amendment, doing away with it will protect the public? Well, only when you control the media, when you control the educational system, when you control the politicians, can you get the people to believe a big lie.
And, you know, the Second Amendment protects, if it were to only protect collective rights, as the liberal interpretation and the inaccurate interpretation is, then it would be completely inappropriate in a Bill of Rights, because the Bill of Rights throughout, if you read all the other amendments, all 10 of them protect individuals. This is an individual Bill of Rights, and the Second Amendment certainly is individual as well. Now, the framers saw the individual ownership of firearms as a protection of freedom against not only, you know, personal threats that we've been talking about, but against foreign invasion and domestic tyranny on the part of the government. George Washington said, "Firearms stand next and important to the Constitution itself. They are the American people's liberty teeth and keystone under independence. To secure peace, security, and happiness, the rifle and the pistol are equally indispensable. The very atmosphere of firearms everywhere restrains evil interference. They deserve a place of honor with all that is good." And with him, of course, Samuel Adams clearly agreed, who is called the father of the American Revolution. He said, "The Constitution shall never be construed to prevent the people of the United States, who are peaceable citizens, from keeping their own arms." You know, Noah Webster, speaking at that same time, said, "Before a standing army or a tyrannical government can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. The supreme power in America cannot," and that he's referring to the federal government, "supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword, because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of regular or professional troops that can be, on pretense, any pretense, raised in the United States."
Well, that's, of course, why they've built such a massive army here, why they're developing a federal police force, why they are tapping our phones through Echelon, and reading our emails and reading our faxes through Echelon, why they have satellites to watch the people, and they can actually watch your movements, why they can track every telephone call you make. They're putting new devices on every car so they know where every car is. Do you really think this all has to do with fighting terrorism? I mean, I wonder how gullible people can be. Don't they understand there have always been evil people who wanted total power over the lives of other evil people, and they all gravitate into government, it would appear.
And in order for the New World dictators to take over, they recognize that they are going to have to confiscate all the guns in our land, because otherwise they'll have to do a house-to-house battle with the people who have guns. And that's why gun registration laws are almost universal. There's almost just a few states left, I think, that do not have gun registration laws, so that they've got a list of all the guns, supposedly, and they're just going to go and round them up when the time is appropriate, unless the people of America wake up to our Second Amendment rights and demand that these laws be repealed, that the legislature has illegally passed laws that are in violation of the Bill of Rights, in violation of the basic organic law of these United States. Well, the Third Amendment is one that we often don't talk very much about because it doesn't seem applicable today, but it was very applicable in that day. It is preventing the government from quartering troops in your house. That is forcing private citizens to house soldiers without the owner's consent and so on. And that was a practice that took place in our land before the War for Independence. People were forced to have British troops housed in their homes. They were forced to feed them. Often what happened when the troops were there in the home, they would run roughshod over the structure of that family, and they would rape the women, the young girls, as well as the mothers, and terrible crimes were committed by British troops who were quartered in people's homes.
Sounds
the Founding Fathers said, "No way, we will not permit that to take place."
Sounds like the United Nations troops when they've gone into places in Africa and they committed terrible, terrible atrocities. United Nations troops, which are primarily funded with American money, because we are, of course, the fund about 25% of everything the United Nations does. We got one vote and we fund 25% of what's going on. We must not be very smart. We'll be back here in just a moment. Or maybe our leaders have a different agenda. Maybe the real purpose of both political parties is to bring about a new world order. and a new world religion.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. He's been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon, Pastor David Whitney. We're talking about the Constitution of the United States. We're talking about the Second Amendment. We're talking about the Third Amendment. And then we'll soon be on the Fourth Amendment. All of these are restrictions on the power of government. That is what the Bill of Rights is. It is to restrict the power of government so men could be free. For our founding fathers realized that liberty and limited government were synonymous, and the tyranny and total government were synonymous. Which direction do you really think we're moving towards, ladies and gentlemen? Towards limited federal government or an all-powerful, all-regulatory government that is going to monitor our mental health, that is going to watch us, going to have people keeping dossiers on us, is going to be listening to our telephone calls, reading our emails and reading our faxes, monitoring our financial activities, monitoring our health, monitoring our travel, monitoring our every telephone call we make. In fact, if you have a cell phone, they can track your exact location. Why are they doing this? Do they have an agenda that the average American doesn't suspect? Pick up the story there, David.
And the Fourth Amendment is exactly what you're talking about, because the Fourth Amendment prohibits the federal government from doing any of those things. It says the rights of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by an oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. In other words, the government cannot go snooping through your papers, listening to your phone conversations, looking at your email, looking at your financial records. The government has no permission to do so unless there is probable cause that you have committed a crime, and that probable cause is stated in a warrant that is signed by a detached magistrate, usually a judge, and it's set forth in an affidavit why the search is necessary, exactly what is being looked for, and what location. In other words, they just cannot go rambling through your house. But as you have told your listeners in other programs, the Patriot Act has completely gutted the Fourth Amendment protections of the Bill of Rights. And now the government has given itself permission. And this is an outrageous thing, because not one congressman or senator, from what I've read the Patriot Act before they signed off on it and said, yes, let's make this the law of the land. Not one of them read what they were doing in destroying the Fourth Amendment to our Bill of Rights. And the result is that now government has given itself permission to search and to seize whatever it wants without a warrant, without probable cause that you've committed a crime. And so today, they can break into your house if they're so inclined to, without any probable cause that you have committed any crime. They can plant bugs in your house, wiretaps on your phone. They can rifle through your personal effects and papers and take whatever they choose, even if there is no evidence that you have done anything wrong whatsoever. All they have to do is, under the cover of the Patriot Act, violate your Fourth Amendment rights.
And but, of course, David, most people think that the Patriot Act has to do with Islamic terrorism, because they've never read the Patriot Act. There's not one word of Islamic terrorism there. They've redefined terrorism so that anybody who opposes the government or wants to change its form immediately becomes a terrorist. And the terrorist Patriot Act has been used far more against people who have committed crimes, and whether they've committed crimes or not doesn't matter. They use these things against them. If they target you, the government targets you, they're going to get you. This is just like it was in Hitler's Germany, and people say, but, well, this is not going to affect me. Well, there are a lot of people over in Germany who thought it wasn't going to affect them. But when you have people who have a different worldview, whose dedication is not to the preservation of the United States, but to this internationalist dream, this globalist dream of the New World Order and the New World Religion, they're going to, of course, come after anybody they want to, and eventually, of course, all freedom will be lost. People don't understand. Freedom is lost when good people do nothing, and all that's necessary for evil to triumph is people to continue doing what they've done in the past.
And the sad thing is, Dr. Stan, because most people don't understand the Fourth Amendment. They don't understand the Bill of Rights and its protection against unwarranted police powers on the part of the state and the part of the federal government. They don't object. You know, I've talked to people who said, well, you know, I don't mind. I don't have anything to hide, so I don't mind the government going through my financial records and going through my house if they choose. You know, it's like they don't understand, because we have enjoyed the blessings of liberty for so long. Most people have falsely believed that the blessings of liberty come on autopilot, that you don't have to do anything as a citizen. You can sit back, and we're going to have the freedoms that our founders had, and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, they'll have those same freedoms. Of course they will, because most people assume it's on autopilot. Our founding fathers warned us there is no way that your liberties can be secure if you are not willing to stand up and fight for them. And the first level, of course, is why Institute on the Constitution was founded, to educate people about these truths, to so they will know how to communicate and hold their elected officials accountable. That's what we've got to do. We've got to
hold that thought.
Call out to them to
hold that thought.
Sure.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we certainly want to remind you we do carry the Big Berkey, we carry the Berkey Life water fillers, and of course if you have water that just doesn't taste good, or you want to be sure that the herbicides and pesticides and the other contaminants, most of them are out of there, you need the Big Berkey or Berkey Life water filter. You can go to our website at radioliberty.com, that's radioliberty.com, see pictures of them. If you want to get out the fluoride and the arsenic and MTBE and lead, why, of course, you can get special filters. Actually, the Big Berkey takes out the MTBE, and I believe it's the arsenic. If you want to take out, however, the lead and the fluoride, you have to have the post filters. And, of course, the same thing is true with the Big Berkey. You need the PF4 filters for that. You need the PF2 filters for the arsenic and the lead. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Why don't you get a Big Berkey and consider ordering it today? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. David, tell people how they can get in touch with the Institute and really begin to learn about the foundation of our freedom.
We offer, Dr. Stan, what we call a host kit, because we don't want to give people the idea that, oh, I could not teach the Constitution. We have a host kit that involves 12 lectures by constitutional law professor Dr. John Eismo. And in those half-hour lectures, he walks you through the history, the foundation of our nation, the Christian theology underlying the founding documents, then looking at the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and then the subsequent amendments, and giving you a plan of action, really a working knowledge of the Constitution. And anyone can do this with any group. The host kit also incorporates two lectures by David Barton that talk about the myth of the wall of separation between church and state, and the key to good government being electing godly officials who will uphold the original intent of the Constitution and our founding documents. They can get a hold of this host kit by ordering it online at iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com. Or they can call us toll-free. Our office number is 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. 1-800-930-9796. And we urge people all over America to do this, because as millions of Americans wake up to the reality that we've been lied to about our form of government, we still on the books have the supreme law of the land as the Constitution, which means every law, including the Patriot Act, that has been enacted, is if it's unconstitutional, it's null and void. What we need is officials who will act upon that fact and treat those as null and void and undo the evil that has been done to destroy our constitutional republic.
And I think it's really, for our listeners out there, there's a lot to be encouraged about. We got a couple of good United States senators this last time with no help at all from the Republican establishment of the Bush administration, but certainly Tom Coburn, elected in Ohio. This gentleman has been elected in Louisiana. These are both good conservatives. We've got a couple of people in the United States Senate, and we've got a few people there in the House of Representatives. And there are enough people there that could turn this around if they knew that the people out here were really concerned and we're not going to put up with this. And we expect them to adhere to their oath to uphold the Constitution that they've sworn to uphold. And they're not doing it. But they may not understand the Constitution. If you understand it, and you can point out to them not what tradition is, what the Constitution says, because that's the law of the land. And we got a lot of corrupt judges in there who either don't know or don't care, or are part of the fascist movement who want to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., and destroy the Christian foundation of this nation, because they know that if they could destroy the Christian foundation of this nation, they could destroy the nation. So pick up the story there, David.
And so the Fourth Amendment, if we understand it, prevents the government from going into our personal effects to try to find some violation of the law that we have supposedly made. They can't go hunting unless they have a warrant from a judge, because there's probable cause that we have committed a crime. And then the Fifth Amendment, this is extremely important. The elements of the Fifth Amendment are critical to understand for people today. It protects us that if we are arrested, that is, if the government says, okay, we believe you've committed a crime, and we are going to face a trial. The first thing the Fifth Amendment does says that if you're going to face a capital trial for a capital crime or infamous crime, you have a grand jury as a buffer between you and the state. Grand jury is just a group of citizens who are charged with looking at the evidence that the state has against you to determine if there is probable cause or if the state is just cooking up something on their own. And as a fact-finding body, they act as a check on government power, because they can say, no, there is not sufficient evidence, no, the government does not have a good case here, and they can release a person. But as you have mentioned before, this grand jury function has been very powerfully undermined by those who are manipulating the grand juries, and because many people don't understand when they are impaneled in a grand jury the power they have. They rather listen to what the judge has told them rather than understanding what our founding fathers' design was for the grand jury.
In fact, I heard Tom DeLay recently saying that, you know, you can impeach a ham sandwich. And this is a very common phrase. You can impeach a ham sandwich. Why? Because, of course, if you can only present one side, if you lie to the grand jury, and, of course, there is no defense allowed in that, you could completely pervert the entire judicial system. And this is what we're doing all across America today, where prosecutors lie, they use perjured testimony, they bring in people from the FBI who lie. And of course, when you've lost the moral foundation for a society, why should we be surprised when people from the government lie, and the prosecutors lie, and the FBI lie? Whether there are no absolutes, when there's no right or there's no wrong, we've taken God out of our courtrooms, when we've taken God out of our schools, when we've taken prayer out of our schools, should we be surprised when we end up with godless schools and godless courtrooms and godless government?
You know, the Fifth Amendment mentions specifically the death penalty, capital punishment, and recently, in the past several decades, the Supreme Court has questioned whether the death penalty is actually constitutional, because the Eighth Amendment speaks about no cruel and unusual punishment, and yet in the Fifth Amendment, there's a direct reference to it that says no person shall be subject to double jeopardy, that is, being tried for the same offense in the same jurisdiction, put in jeopardy of life. That is, that your life could be taken from you. Obviously, in intending that there are situations where your life could be taken from you, that capital punishment was never seen by our founding fathers as cruel and unusual. They saw it as appropriate for murder and other capital crimes. I mentioned double jeopardy, that is the principle here in the Fifth Amendment that you cannot be tried twice by the same jurisdiction for the same offense. And this, again, is designed to prevent government harassment. King George III was famous for doing this, trying a person, well, they were acquitted in this case, well, we're going to try them for the same crime again, and we're going to try to get a jury that's going to convict them, whatever we can drum up, or we're going to drag them from their own colony across the ocean and try them in England. And this kind of abuse of government power caused our founding fathers to protect us from that.
Well, we saw this with the Rodney King trials, mm-hmm. and in fact the two police officers, they were tried, they were exonerated, so the federal government decided to try them again. And of course they can always figure a reason for it, but they put those things of double jeopardy in. If you were exonerated by a court, a jury of your peers, why, you should be free. No, they can bring you back again and again and again, because you see, increasingly you have people, they determine what's right and wrong. And those police officers, I believe, were doing exactly what they were supposed to do, what they were trained to do. Rodney King was obviously on PCP, and yet, of course, they used this as a vehicle. The media used it. They showed that one part of the film, but only part of the film. They did not show the part of the film where Rodney King attacks the police officer. You remember that? All they showed was the police officers beating Rodney King. And of course, they showed it over and over and over again. Why? To create racial division, to create racial hatred, to play one race against the other. They know exactly what they're doing.
And they succeeded in creating a riot.
They sure did, right. And then, of course, they could use that to justify trying the officers again. And they would have kept trying them over and over again, even though that they had done what they were supposed to have done. In fact, the judge who convicted them said, well, they hit them once or twice too often. Who's going to say, you know, the heat of the battle, whether you should hit a guy 20 times or 18 times. When this guy has already attacked the police, they've swarmed him, they've thrown nets over him, and of course superhuman strength because he was on PCP. But you see, here we're doing away with these ideas of double jeopardy because they don't go along with the views of our masters. The ruling class, of course, is going to target specific people, as they targeted those police officers and destroyed their lives because they were doing what they were trained and told to do.
Well, you know, the next element of the Fifth Amendment is equally important. It says that there's no compulsory self-incrimination that is to take place in the interrogation process. In other words, they wanted to prevent anyone from being coerced into a confession, because that coerced confession, as they knew, might be false. They had a long history in Europe of the Inquisition torturing people until they confess whatever the confessor demands they confess, or in England there was people burned at the stake for various things and tortured for other things. And the whole idea that the police powers of the state can torture you to get you to confess to a crime that you have not committed is something our founding fathers wanted to prevent from ever happening in this constitutional country, our constitutional republic. And they recognized that coerced confessions were worthless, because you're violating the basic standard of justice and fairness, and you're violating the human dignity of that person, forcing them to cooperate in their own self-destruction, which was in violation of a basic biblical principle.
But of course, David, what we're doing today in our fight against terrorism, of course, we have got a whole flock of people down at Guantanamo, and we're torturing them, depriving them of sensory, of sound or of sight. You know, we put blinders on them and earmuffs on them and put them in terrible positions, you know, and we've held them there. And many of them, of course, we don't even know whether they were, what their involvement was. And of course, the American people are going along with this. They're torturing people over in the Middle East. And actually, of course, if they don't want to torture them, then they put them on planes and they send them into Saudi Arabia or into Jordan so they can let them torture them. Ladies and gentlemen, where is the outcry? Where is the moral position that once made America the envy of the whole world? Where is the Christian morality? Oh, well, the end justifies the means. These people have to be tortured. We have to get the information from them. Ladies and gentlemen, who's funding the Islamic terrorist movement? Why, Pakistan and Saudi Arabia both are good close allies. So there's something wrong with this whole picture. And what bothers me more than anything, David, is where is the outcry from the American people? Where is the outrage? And it's muted in its silence.
And there should be. And, you know, the courts a number of years ago recognized that they were sensitive enough to this that even a custodial interrogation, that is, if the police arrest you and they take you down to the precinct headquarters and put you in a room and, you know, turn the bright lights on and begin to ask you questions, that is inherently coercive. And therefore, the police, they, of course, determined must read your Miranda rights, because the case Miranda was the one that established this new principle. But basically, it's to read the rights of that citizen, his Fifth Amendment rights, to ensure that if he is waiving his Fifth Amendment rights, that he's doing truly that he's doing that with understanding, that he's intelligently and voluntarily waiving those rights, that he does not have to self-incriminate himself. Now, the next phrase of the Fifth Amendment, that no person can be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, without a just, fundamentally fair process, you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property. And what's happening today, for the last 30-some years, millions, 44 million babies have been deprived of life, and there's been no due process of law. They have been murdered. A contract killer has been hired by the mother to murder her own baby, and most Americans have stood and watched it happen and not lifted a finger to oppose the wicked evil of abortion. And the only way that this is allowed to continue in our land is Christians have not called upon their legislative representatives to say, you must end this, because the Fifth Amendment demands that you end this. They are persons in the womb. It's not personhood when you leave the womb that you become a human being. No, you're a human being from the moment of conception, and we should put out every pro-abortion politician and only put in those who would change our system of government such that we would abide by the Fifth Amendment that says, unless a trial was had for that unborn child and it was proved guilty, which of course it could not be, there is no abortion that is legitimate or legal. I don't care if, like our current president says, well, if the woman was raped, then you got to kill the baby, or you give her permission to kill the baby. On what grounds? Has that baby committed a crime? Has that baby been given due process of law before it was put to death? No. The president doesn't understand the Fifth Amendment, which means he's disqualified, really, for office and should not have been returned to the White House, as unfortunately America has done. The third of those, you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property. The third of those is another one that's been terribly violated in our day by government taking people's property, declaring eminent domain. Oftentimes, a jurisdiction will declare eminent domain and take a person's property for the sole reason of turning around and selling it to some developer who's going to yield a higher tax revenue for that taxing body, whether it's a county or a city or a state.
I think that usually the reason it happens is because that developer has been very generous with his contributions to the politicians, and that is the reality of what really goes on. Let's call a spade a spade. You know, we have some of the finest politicians that money could buy in offices all throughout America today.
And the protections here in the Fifth Amendment is that the government cannot take your private property for public use without just compensation. They have to pay you the full market value, which never happens when eminent domain is declared. But even beyond eminent domain, there's other aspects of this to consider as well. Perhaps the government doesn't take title to your property, but it limits your use of that property, prohibiting you from building on it or conducting a certain business on it. Isn't that a taking? If the government tells you you can't build a garage on your property, haven't they taken the value of your property away from you? And so, in a sense, all zoning laws really are a violation of the Fifth Amendment, because our founders, they understood what it was like to be under a tyrannical government. King George claimed to own all the land of the colonies. The colonies were under charters. That is, the king granted them the use of his land. He was the king. He owned the land. So basically, up until the Declaration of Independence, Americans were under a feudal system of government in the colonies, and no one owned their land free and clear. The king owned it, and if they did what the king told them and paid the taxes the king told them to pay and the regulations and so forth, they could use the king's land. That's a feudal system. Our founders established an allodial system. The term allodial is from the Greek words, which means but from God. That is, I didn't receive my property from man, from the king. I received it from God, and I am God's steward of this property. And that's a very clear biblical concept laid out in the Old Testament pattern established in the Hebrew Republic, that the people had land that could not be taken away by the government. Well, property tax, obviously, is a strike against that. And for the first 100 years in our country, there was no property tax because the people understood if the government can tax the property, what the government is saying is that it owns the property, that it is the king and you are the serf. And the king can tell the serf what to do on that property, what he can build on that property. Well, if there's a snail darter on the property, what he can't do on that property. You know, all the crazy regulations that have taken place over in destroying people's property rights today are all rooted in this idea that the government is God, or the government is king, and the government owns all the property, and we have permission from our master, the king, to use the property provided we abide by all of his regulations, and provided we pay him rent on a yearly basis. And, oh, you stop and don't pay one year's rent, and you see very quickly who claims to own your property. They'll put it up for sale and auction it off to the highest bidder.
David, let's get your telephone number and your website out one more time before we let you go.
Our toll-free number is 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. And our website is iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com.
Well, God bless you. Thank
God
you
bless
so much.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. The guest this evening has been Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. We're talking about the Constitution of the United States, which is the foundation of our freedom. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there was the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when, of course, we want to tell you about some of the items we have here that will help you better to understand the Christian foundation of this country. Now, when people say this is a Christian nation, and then the people say it's not a Christian nation, but nobody ever defines what we mean by a Christian nation. Does it mean you have to be a Christian to be an American? No. Does it have to be mean you have to be a Christian to be a good American? Not at all. America was founded predominantly by Americans on Christian principles, and the basic idea was that men were basically sinful, a biblical idea, and that you had to limit the power of government, or whoever it was who was in position of power would misuse that power. The basis of our common law was the Bible. And, of course, the whole idea of the Ten Commandments was rooted in all of the original laws of this country. And, of course, there are people, of course, who hate Christianity, who hate freedom. There really are evil and wicked people out there. If you don't believe that, you need to get our videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour version, the 4-hour version, the 10-hour version of they sold their souls for rock and roll, to understand the evil people there are out there who really want a dictatorship in America and what energizes them. But we have William Federer's book, America's God and Country. That's America's God and Country. We have Tim LaHaye's wonderful book, The Faith of Our Founding Fathers. We have John Salfant's Abandonment Theology. And, of course, David Barton's Original Intent. That's America's God and Country. It's over 800 pages. You can get it out of the book. You can get it on a CD, great CD, with lots more information on it. And then The Faith of Our Founding Fathers, Abandonment Theology, because the church really has abandoned freedom here in America. We'll talk about that some other time. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And again, remember our number to call if you'd like to get in touch with us, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day, directly or indirectly. You can listen to our archive programs. You can read our newsletters. And let me tell you, I think those newsletters will give you a tremendous amount of information. You can see the various items we carry. And we carry the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light products. And if you buy them through us, well, you'll get a free video or free a four-tape set that we produced, and we carry the Robinson Homeschool curriculum. We carry the various soap products. We certainly carry the other items. So just go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and pull them down, the four-tape sets, the videos, the books. And, of course, the books are designed to teach you, to educate you, so that you will understand fully and be able to document the fact that we are moving from freedom towards fascism. And when you understand that, why, you'll begin to understand what's happening, why we're at war in Iraq. We're certainly not fighting, to bring the people freedom. We're not fighting because Saddam Hussein is a wicked man, and he tortured people, and he killed his own people, because we're over there torturing people and killing people, too. We've killed 100,000 Iraqi military and civilians, 100,000 of them. Men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose, and you need to get the facts, and you need to understand we are not planning on leaving Iraq. When the elections are held, wherever they're held, we're going to keep our troops there, and we're going to continue inflaming the Muslims throughout the world. And that's the only way we're going to get World War III growing. Everything we've done from the very beginning, when we brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power, to financing the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, to actually putting out $51 million for Islamic textbooks, indoctrinating the youth of Afghanistan in radical Islam. And if you doubt that, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And ask for the article on Islamic education. It's a Washington Post article, but it's on education and how we train these people in this radical form of Islam, which didn't exist until it was brought back by your CIA. Why would they do that? To create the best enemy that your money could buy. And we've really succeeded. And, of course, we have a wonderful video by that. It's called Best Enemy of Money Could Buy. Doesn't deal with what's going on today. We cover that in many of our four-tape sets. In fact, we cover that beautifully in our talk, Iraq, the Untold Story, and the syllabus goes along with that. But to understand who financed communism from its inception, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to, of course, read the book we have, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, or the video, my interview with Professor Sutton before he passed away. We call it The Best Enemy Money Could Buy, how we financed Russia from its inception. Why? You needed an enemy to rally the people behind the government here so we would pay our taxes and provide a tremendous military, supposedly to protect ourselves against the communists who were funding and helping at every turn. That is what's so incredible in the American people. Well, some of them can see it today. And then, of course, you have to get the book Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, Professor Sutton's book, which we carry. And then the book The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, the video The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, my book Brotherhood of Darkness, and Professor Sutton's book Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. You'll be surprised who financed Hitler before and during the Second World War, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. Who do you think financed the Bolsheviks and put them onto their feet? Why, we did. We created the best enemy money could buy. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble because America's lost its first love, and that was God. We've turned our back upon the Creator from whom all freedom comes. And, of course, unless we have revival in this country, we're going to lose America. So pray for America. Pray for revival. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.